Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Before we start today's podcast, a quick heads up on Sheerluxe's VIP Club. From restaurants, bars and hotels to beauty, wellness and shopping, Sheerluxe partners with some of London's best destinations and hottest brands to bring its VIPs exclusive monthly offers. So why not sign up? It'll cost you just £5 a month or £50 for the year. Use your card once or twice and you'll have made that amount back in no time. For more information, visit sheerluxevip.com.
Welcome to the Sheerluxe Highlights podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Astrid Carter, Lou Half, and first-time podcaster, Hattie Cotmore. Hattie is our content coordinator.
Yeah, very excited about my first podcast.
Well, we're very excited to have you. How was everyone's weekend? Astrid, how was Brighton?
Oh, it was so fun. I haven't been to Brighton in ages, and I forgot how fun it is. There were some amazing restaurants we went to, a place called the Ginger Pig, not associated with the Ginger Pig butcher in London, but really worth a visit. Actually, I got recommendations off two girls in the office that live in Brighton. And then on Sunday, we had a roast at the Salt Room, which they have a sister restaurant in London called The Coal Shed. I don't know if anyone's been. But highly recommended.
Nice. Yeah. Hattie, how was your weekend?
So much fun. I had bottomless brunch. Well, it was bottomless lunch on Saturday.
Okay.
So we went out for pizza and Prosecco.
Oh, dream. Better than
the
brunch.
The dream Saturday, yeah.
Didn't you do that last weekend?
I did.
Yeah, and
I don't know about Dry January. I've literally done the complete opposite.
Great.
I've had bottomless 3 weeks in a row now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hardcore. Lou, what about you?
The weather was so disgusting. So I actually watched lots of TV this weekend.
Wow. What a lovely segue. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. A little bit late to the party, but I watched Fire on Friday night.
Me too.
I watched it on the train.
Oh my God. It's so fascinating. It's the kind of thing that normally I would completely brush over. I know it's not something that I would be interested in, but I was completely gripped. And Charlotte, we were talking about it, and you were like, even you know the storyline, you know what happens. Is it still interesting? And it is, for me, because of the complete scale of it.
For people who haven't watched it, can you explain a bit what it's about?
So it's basically about this guy who is a entrepreneur, and he decides that he wants to start a music festival. And they do this big advert where they fly in, like, all the biggest supermodels in the world. They go to this island on the Bahamas. They're, like, jumping off boats. Like, he's sort of painting this picture of this incredible festival. They're going to have, like, the biggest headliners. They're going to have these luxury, like, tents and houses on the beach. And it's like all singing, all dancing, everything you could possibly imagine. And he keeps adding and adding to what is going to be happening. And then there's suddenly credit cards and wristbands, and he just can't pull it off, basically. And everyone is like, you need to stop. We can't do this. He's got, you know, people in the industry saying, we actually can't do this. You haven't got enough time. You haven't got enough space. They're moving the location. And he's just like, no, no, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. And it just spirals and spirals.
It's watching a car crash. Yeah. I can't believe that they're going to allow the people to actually go there, but they do.
Yes,
and these people show up, and there's like nowhere to sleep, nothing to eat, no water, no flights out, no security, no health and safety. Like, are there authorities in these places?
Isn't it so eerie as well when they arrive?
Yeah.
And it's so dark, and everyone's just running around, no one knows what's going on.
And they think they've got these like luxury tents, and they're like hurricane covers.
They were like old hurricane tents from a previous
hurricane.
Like, hurricane. Yeah, a legit hurricane.
And it's so fascinating as well, like how it's all been documented. Like, how they have footage of all of that. Obviously, they didn't know this was going to be a big documentary, but they have all this footage, and it's like, ooh, I don't know.
And it's funny because all that footage, it was supposed to be promotional, wasn't it? They recorded everything they did in the build up to it in order to kind of show off about how sick they were and how amazing this festival was and how entrepreneurial they were.
Yeah.
But actually, now it's obviously been completely used against them to prove what idiots or reckless. I don't know what the word is. Is he in prison now?
Yeah, he got put away for 6 years.
Yeah,
I think.
So, and Ben was like, I don't understand why he went to prison. He was like, either everybody should go to prison or no one should.
But he was orchestrating it.
Exactly.
And so in the documentary, if you haven't seen it, they interview loads of people that worked for this fire company. and they were all riding this wave that he'd created, which was a load of bullshit,
but they had no idea.
Yeah,
but they were all trying to tell him.
Yeah. They all kind of knew that there was something underlying wasn't right, but it just...
And I think they know they have a part to play in it, but, you know, essentially he... All of the fundraising, that was all fraud.
Mm. Just what they sold, the package they sold to paying customers was fraud as well.
And then plus, potentially they put all of those people's lives at risk by dumping them all on an island with, like, no provision.
I think he genuinely believed it. I think he thought this could happen. And even, you know, when he's out on bail and then he sets up a new business.
What, like, I genuinely could not believe that.
I think he's, like, a legit sociopath.
Just really delusional.
Yeah. I was so angry watching it. Mm. Like... He just thought he had so much more worth than anyone.
I think it was sort of the opposite. I think he's like some kind of geeky guy that couldn't believe his luck that he was hanging out with Ja Rule and all these supermodels and just kind of got completely carried away with that as opposed to having a God complex. I think it was actually more of an inferiority complex.
The bit that got me the most was when they were interviewing a local restaurant owner who had hired loads of staff to feed everyone, basically, and she was never paid. And she was like, you know, I'm an honest citizen. I'm going to pay the people that worked for me. So she had to fork out $50,000 of her own savings to pay for them. And it was just heartbreaking watching her talk about it.
I have since seen on social media, though, that there's been like a huge push since the documentary came out to get her that money back. And there's been like a crowdfunding. I've seen influencers being like, I've donated this amount to whatever her name is.
I did think
to help
that.
Get the money back.
And all the workers as well who actually like built the site. Mm. I did think if I was one of those influencers that had been paid X amount of money just to post one thing on Instagram, I would have
100%. And I hope that they did. I don't know if that's been publicised what they did, but I think Kendall Jenner was wired £250,000 just to do one post. Like, what?
She should just be giving that money straight to those people. Well, if you haven't seen it, it's only like an hour and 40 minutes
and it's fascinating.
Even if you feel like you know every detail, you won't believe it until you see it.
No.
Anybody else watch anything good?
I also went to go and see The Favourite, which I feel like we've talked about loads now, and it is fantastic, but I've got to agree, Charlotte, I'm with you.
It's so weird.
It is so weird. And Olivia Colman is fantastic. There's nobody else that could have played that role. But I didn't come out of it thinking it was the best film I'd seen in ages, which I thought I would.
Yeah. Have you seen any of his other... I can't remember his name, but like The Lobster is really strange.
Lanthimos is his name.
Offbeat, dark comedy. Yeah. So I think if you've seen that, you'd go in expecting something.
It's a great film to have come out and, you know, three powerful female actors. The storyline is totally about them. It's set in a time where you perhaps wouldn't expect behaviour and language from them. And so it is really interesting, but it wasn't as good as I thought.
I think the thing about him is that his previous works have been slightly more under the radar, or slightly more indie, or slightly, slightly less mainstream. And this often happens with a director, and they'll go really mainstream, and then you're like, it's not meant for the mainstream because not everybody will get it, me included. So I get you. Hattie, have you watched anything good?
I finally watched Roma on Netflix.
Has anyone watched it? No, it's been on my radar.
So good. I'd seen the trailer ages ago and thought, this looks amazing, but I have to wait until I can commit to watch this and concentrate. But it's just amazing. It's just so well directed. And I'd not seen, I think he's called Alfonso Cuarón, I'd not seen any of his work before. And it is so well done. And just down to these tiny things that you don't realise when you're watching it. So there's this one scene, not a spoiler, they're in a hospital and all of the doctors and nurses are actually doctors and nurses. They weren't actors.
Wow.
Because he wanted it to be really authentic. And it's just all those tiny details in a film that are incredible.
And what is it actually about?
So it's based on his childhood. So it's based in, I think it's around 1970 in Mexico City. And you follow this middle-class family, and the main character is their housemaid, who is based on the director's nanny from when he was a child. And it kind of looks at women at the time. There aren't a lot of male roles. So you kind of see his parents' marriage, and then obviously the nanny who you follow around the most. And
interesting. Okay, so this all kind of leads nicely onto the piece we wrote last week about Oscar nominations. Everybody here has kind of got a good like assessment of the films that have been out recently. People and films are obviously tipped to win certain things, but for you guys, what film is worthy of the best film and who should take those best actor and actress gongs?
I don't think I've seen one that is maybe worthy. I haven't seen A Star Is Born. There was loads of chat about that. When I was at cinema, I saw the trailer for Green Book, which looks so fantastic.
And Mahershala Ali, who's in it actually won a SAG award last night for that.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try and see that this week, and I hope that would be fantastic. And also Vice is another one which I haven't seen, which I really want to, which again has got a lot of nominations. So I don't know.
Pretty hard. Astrid?
I haven't actually seen that many on here. Obviously, I love Bohemian Rhapsody. We waxed lyrical about it a few weeks ago, so I think we've probably said enough on that. But the other one I really want to see, which I'm going to go see this week, is Beautiful Boy. We also wrote a feature on the site about that as well, but it just looks like a film that's not really about that much, but it's more about like human interaction and relationships. Probably quite heavy going.
Yeah, I can't hack that kind of movie. Like, I know what it's about, and that's kind of enough for me. Like, I don't need to go and sit through 2 hours of like real misery
about
two people's lives. Yeah, I just
I love a sad film. Have a good cry.
Me too. Have you ever seen Still Alice?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Once you start crying in that film, it's literally like waterworks right.
I don't think
the
I've
end.
Heard of it.
Julianne Moore gets early onset Alzheimer's. And,
it's based on a true story.
It is just...
It's just... Yeah,
I don't think I could handle that.
I think there are movies that happen to be sad and they're good and the sadness is almost kind of part of the emotional journey of it. But things that are like simply designed to be these like incredibly heart-wrenching weepies, like I just can't.
It's too much.
Yeah. I feel the same with like Holocaust films. I've never seen like The Pianist or like any of those films. I just can't.
I think you have to want to cry.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to go into it knowing that that's why you're watching it.
Yeah, and I never feel like that. I cry enough as it is without watching a load of films. I just have to quickly mention a play I saw this weekend called My Name is Lucy Barton, which for anyone who saw Laura Linney on Graham Norton a few weeks ago is her one-woman play at the Bridge Theatre, which is a new theatre right next to Tower Bridge. And when I booked it, I wasn't aware it was a one-woman play. And then when I found out, I was a bit like, oh, God, that's pretty intense. But it was amazing. I've only ever seen a one-person play once before, which was Kevin Spacey a few years ago at the Old Vic. And I kind of should have known from that experience that as long as it's an amazing actor, then you are in safe hands. Laura Linney was just incredible. And to be able to hold a room for an hour and a half and like really captivate people, and she kind of plays multiple parts. It's about one woman's story, but she kind of, as that character, does impressions of other people, you know, embodying other characters. And it was just so kind of powerful, and would have actually been less powerful and less impactful had there been multiple people playing those roles. The impact of it was that it was just her. But seriously, you know, just an hour and a half on a Saturday afternoon, she's like an incredible talent, and it's well worth a visit if you can. Let's talk about radio shows. We talk a lot about podcasts, other things we've listened to here on this podcast. But we wrote a piece about the 11 best radio shows for the old school listener, because video did not kill the radio star, and there are loads worth listening to. I have to just say, a lot of these I do listen to as podcasts, so I'm not sure what the distinction really is. But anyway, I suppose they're things that have been originally broadcast on the radio.
And then listening in real time.
Exactly. So were there any on this list that anyone here listens to?
So my two favourite aren't on the list, I think.
What were they?
Well, one of them is Desert Islanders. Love that. Mm-hmm. But the other two, which I love, are both Radio 2. One is Graham Norton's segment. I just adore Graham Norton. Mm-hmm. Anything he do, couldn't be wrong for me. And also Elaine Page musicals on Sunday afternoon. Nothing is better than driving back on, you've got a long journey, and just tuning into Elaine Page. And I love it.
I love that. I would never have thought to listen to either of those. Do you download them?
No, literally, I would only listen to them in the car when I've got a long journey. Mm. And you're just like, oh, this is a good song.
So speaking of those BBC productions, and often I've been really disappointed that the BBC doesn't put all of their radio shows onto the podcast app as podcasts, because there are things that I like to listen to and you have to listen to them live. But now they have the BBC Sounds app, which is quite new in the last few months. And that basically allows you to download any show that you've missed across all the BBC radio networks.
You can listen to them all on the BBC website as well.
Yes, you can. But if you want to be able to download them, so you can listen to them like, on the train, for example, or a plane. So I highly recommend the BBC Sounds app. Astrid?
I really like Guy Garvey, who is the frontman of Elbow, and his BBC Six radio show, Finest Hour. It's on Sunday afternoons, but yeah, he's just got like impeccable taste in music.
So is it just music?
And a bit of chat, but everyone probably knows his voice from, remember Moz the Monster?
Oh yeah.
On the John Lewis advert. He did this beautiful cover of one of the Beatles songs.
Oh.
So yeah, that's
interesting.
Him.
What kind of music does he play?
It's quite an eclectic mix. It can be anything from, you know, a new indie band to, you know, something classic.
Cool.
So, no, I don't know how.
What does Graham Norton do? Is his chat? Or
his chat. He's the best interviewer in the world, I think. And he always has great guests on. He'll have a section where people are calling in with their questions or their queries, and he's sort of answering that. So not like an agony aunt way. It's quite funny. And it's just kind of an extension of his TV show.
Oh, fun. I think he listens to that then. Hattie, what about you? Any radio shows you listen to?
I never listen to the radio, ever. I guess it's a bit like TV, like I'd never watch that real time either. Mm-hmm. But I do love Desert Island Discs.
Okay.
And I kind of love that because it's a podcast, you can go through all the archives and listen to the old ones. And I can binge listen to them. I'll listen to like five in a row.
Lou and I are really guilty of only listening to the ones about people that we know.
Yeah. To I'm kind trying of the to branch and... out a bit. So last week, Ruth Jones was on Desert Island Discs. And that was great because I'm a big Gavin and Stacey mm-hmm. fan. And after that, I then listened to James Corden's because... Okay.
Because you've got to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Go down like a rabbit hole with that time.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, but I had to turn his arm.
I hate really? James Corden. I love him. I don't remember his. They talk a lot about, obviously, Gavin and Stacey. Actually, that was quite interesting when having listened to Ruth Jones's and they talk about it and then listening to his point of view.
Quite interesting. Quite different.
Not really. But I think they both think it was their idea. So that was quite funny.
Well, it sounds like the BBC is on a bit of a roll, doesn't it? I'm obsessed with a Radio 4 show. It's on at 12 on a Sunday, which obviously is really hard to catch. So that's why the BBC Sounds app has been the best thing. It sounds like we're being sponsored by the BBC. Which is called Unbelievable Truth. And it's a panel show hosted by David Mitchell. And it's got like regular panellists like Susan Kalman, who was on Strictly last year. And what's his name? The really tall guy who does Pointless.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's got a pretty good roster of, you know, BBC celebrities, and it's basically like they have to each kind of deliver a monologue about something, anything, and within the monologue are lots of lies and a few hidden truths, and people have to like buzz in to guess like, is that actually true? Is
a
that
bit
actually...
like would I lie to you
a little bit, yeah. But they might be giving a monologue on like rock formation or okay. You know, astronauts or like,
so
literally
it might not
anything
be, like personal to them.
Yeah okay. No, it's not, yeah, exactly, it's not a story about them, it's a story about like, you know, history, geography, cool. Anything, and yeah, people have to guess the facts and things, so you learn some stuff as well, so double whammy. The other thing that was on this list that I love, which I've talked about so much before, is Komodo Mayo's film review show. I know I always bang on about it. That is the only podcast that like it drops on iTunes at like 5 on a Friday, and I have listened to it like by the time I get home on a Friday because I just love it. It's like having two dads whisper on at you about films, and I mean, Mark Maid is just like so knowledgeable about films, and I don't even really watch half the films that he talks
about.
Yeah,
even if you haven't seen the film,
it's
still so fascinating.
Yeah, it's
so interesting. And they have great guests as well. They always have lots of directors.
Exactly, and they have the top people promoting films at that time on the show, so that's really good. Okay, so would you be incentivized to actually listen to the radio? Like, Hattie, why don't you?
I think it's just because you have to listen at a certain time. So maybe I would get the Sounds app and then listen. But if I have to listen at a set time, I'm not going to do it.
It's probably because we're just not used to doing that anymore, are we? Like, there was obviously a generation where that was a thing.
Yeah.
Which we just about skimmed, but now we're so used to convenience, aren't
we? Yeah. I would listen to the radio if I drove, but living in London, don't really drive that much. Well, sometimes I put it on, like, on Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon if I'm in the house. But, yeah, I'd rather just download, like, the specific show.
I love the idea of it. I just don't do it.
In a way, it's sad, but at the same time, if you can kind of have the best of both worlds, where it's on live and then you can download it, well, it probably is bringing it to a whole new audience, because if you can't download it, we probably wouldn't be listening to it.
The only thing I would say is it is nice when you're just like listening sporadically because you maybe come across shows or people that you wouldn't have thought, oh, let me download them, I know that person, I'm really interested in that. So I think it can kind of take you by surprise sometimes, but then on the same vein, sometimes you listen to a partner show and you're like, I don't want to listen to this.
Like, I love doing that with Radio 4 because you might hear something, it's an author interview or something, it's really interesting, but then it might be The Archers, which is not so interesting. So to me anyway, I'm sure.
Also,
sorry,
I want to give a shout out to BBC London, because Georgie had a little segment on there last week with Joe Good, which was so funny to hear her voice.
And my mum said to me, she was like, oh, I'm so upset because I switched it up. My mum loves Joe Good's radio station for a radio show, and she was like, I switched it on and I heard her at the very end, and I heard her say, oh, thank you to Georgie Coleridge Cole. My mum was like, no. So yeah, definitely. Well, I'm sure you can download it on the BBC Sounds app. So that was Tuesday the 22nd of January, Joe Good's show. Hit it up.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, it's still January, which I think still entitles us to talk about new things for the year ahead. And one of those is a piece that Heather wrote this week about the 13 food trends we'll be trying this year. That included everything from Sri Lankan cuisine to going meat-free, kefir to rum. I can get on board with that. Anything on this list that takes your fancy?
Well, I went to Sri Lanka a few months ago, so I can confirm that Sri Lankan food is absolutely delicious.
And you were describing to me the hoppers at breakfast.
Hoppers. Back, which sounded yeah, so breakfast is a big thing in Sri Lanka. Everyone thinks London is like the epicentre of brunch and breakfast, but actually Sri Lanka knows how to do it much better.
We just steal it from other places.
Yeah, exactly. Or we just make food and then put an egg on it and call it brunch.
Yeah. Like,
that's not brunch. Anyway, yeah, your hoppers, you get string hoppers, which are like kind of rice noodly things. You get these amazing cups made out of, it's kind of like a really airy bread, and you have a poached egg in there. You get these little sambals, which are essentially like kind of Sri Lankan condiments. You have spicy ones or chutneys and stuff like that, and you pick and choose what you want, like customize it. But yeah, amazing breakfasts. There's actually a really good Sri Lankan restaurant in London called Hoppers.
I really want to go to it. It's been on my list for a while. Food halls is on here, and last, was it in the summer, we went a little Sherlock's outing to the market hall in Fulham, which had the best array of street food. It was just, I think, such a cool place, I think particularly to go in the summer, maybe, where you can go and meet a group of friends, and it's particularly if people have got sort of different foodie fancies and some people are pickier than others, then you can go get what you want. There's a great bar area and take what you fancy. And there's also, they've opened one in Victoria, which is music to my ears because that's my train stop, so great meeting point people. I think it's a really good idea.
I agree. Hattie, what about you? Anything else in the list?
I think going meat-free, no surprise that that's a big trend now. And actually, it's quite easy. I find that I do it accidentally a lot, and it's not really a conscious decision. I didn't eat meat last week just because I didn't. I realised yesterday that I'd gone a whole week.
Do you include chicken in that?
Yeah. I don't really like chicken that much. Yeah. I think it's a bit boring.
Also, I think everyone is pretty stretched financially in January. Yeah. And it is also a really good way to save money.
Definitely.
Because if you're buying sustainably sourced meat, it is so expensive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it is a really good way of saving money.
Yeah, that is really true. I feel like I'm going to completely counter that by saying goat is one of the things on the menu. So if you are eating meat, I went to Tempura on Saturday night, where I've actually been meaning to go for so long and have just never got around to it, and they happen to have space. It is so good. And I had like a braised goat there, which is just incredible. Like, if you're more of like a lamb girl than like a beef girl, then you'll love goat because it kind of is that more like flaky, soft variety. Oh, it was just so good. I'm describing it so badly, but it was amazing. I feel like ugly fruit and veg, that's number five on this list, is a trend I keep seeing on Instagram. Oddbox, which is a delivery service which basically like rescues all the ugly fruit and veg that wouldn't be sold by your mainstream supermarkets and will send it to you. And like, there's literally nothing wrong with it. It's just, you know, the carrots are wonky or whatever. I can't think of other things that could be wrong with your fruit. But anyway, they're completely edible still, but they just don't look as good, and otherwise they're going to waste. So that is an amazing incentive if you are looking to be a little bit more eco-friendly. And I know Georgina has mentioned before Farm Drop, which will kind of look at your postcode, find what local suppliers you have, and basically do your food shop like you can on Ocado from there. But all your eggs are locally sourced, and your meat and your veg and everything. So if you are looking to be a little bit more kind to the environment without making food sacrifices, then those are good
things. It's also the best way to eat seasonably, which is so much better for you, so much better for the environment, because yeah, you're only going to get locally grown veg.
So true. Are there any food trends from the last few years that you really jumped on board with and now are like, gross, no?
No, I can't think of any.
Ben and I were laughing yesterday, but Ben was looking at like a flower or something that I had in their cupboard. Like, when all the wellness trend like kicked off, I went hard in on all of the like the baking stuff in particular. So like when Deliciously Ella, like, you know, was first around with her sweet potato brownies and her like cauliflower crust pizzas, I really went for it. Whenever that was, like 3 years ago, and had all of the, you know, like date syrups and that kind of thing in my house. But now I just think if I'm gonna have a treat, it's all gonna make you fat anyway, so I'll just
all
have a Cadbury's. Exactly. Well, if you are interested in knowing what the big foodie trends are going to be for the year and getting ahead of the curve, then check out the piece that we wrote on the site. Let's talk about running now. This is one of my least favourite things to do. For many of us, the words running and enjoy are mutually exclusive. But there's a new book out that's set to change that. Bella McKee wrote Jog On and used running as a way to conquer her severe anxiety. She found it completely life-changing in the end. So I want to know, any runners in the room?
I do like running. I totally get the connection between running and like mindfulness or whatever you want to call it. Like for me, it's not just about getting out there and doing some fitness. Like I literally just switch off. Sometimes I don't even listen to music when I'm running.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think I could do that. I need that to drown out what I'm actually doing.
Or the thinking.
Yeah. The exercise itself, I don't love. I'd much rather just go to the gym than go for a run. Yeah.
So 100%. Do you ever go for a run?
Sporadically.
Okay.
Like I will do it, but it has to be really good weather. I have to want to go out and just be, like outside on that day.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Ashley, how often would you say that you do it? Like I know busy working times aside, like
when I'm being good, I'll do it like 3 times a week.
That's amazing.
I've got a really good app on my phone which like sends you annoying notifications like get out there and run.
What's the name of the app?
It's like
a 5K one.
Is it Couch to 5K?
No, it's not that one, but it is a 5K one. But I don't use it the way you're meant to.
Fine.
Because I've done it before. But I probably should like upgrade and just get another.
You should be doing the 10K app now.
But that's the thing. Obviously, it's good to get out there and like raise your heart rate and stuff like that. But for me, running is not about doing fitness. Like, I'd rather go to a class to do that.
Yeah. Mm.
It's like the only time when you're not actually like engaged in something else.
Mm-hmm. That's really true.
And will you do it after work, before work?
In the winter, it's harder because I don't really like running at night. I just feel quite unsafe. So yeah, I don't do it in the evening. Also, it's only just started getting light enough to do it before work, kind of thing. But I love having a weekend run.
Interesting. Yeah. Lou, into running?
Not at all. I really, really don't enjoy long distance running at all. Like at school, I was very into sprinting and I'd much rather do that and it'd be over as quick as possible. But I completely get it that for some people it's super therapeutic and I know people that adore it and it's a really sort of cleansing process for them. But for me, it's not the one. I would use swimming for that instead of running.
Do you swim often?
I do when I'm back in Bristol quite a bit. And then whenever I've got an opportunity to, I will. And on holiday, that is literally where I'm at. I'm bored of sunbathing and things like that. So you'll find me in the pool.
Interesting. Well, I completely agree with you. I hate running. Like, I hate it. I'm not a natural exerciser at all. Like, I'm saying this to someone this weekend. Like, it doesn't matter how many gym classes I do. Like, I work out, like, 3 times a week. And every minute of every one of those classes, I'm thinking, I hate this. Like, I'm so far from sporty. And I do it because I know, like, all the benefits. But I think you have to have a kind of natural sporty inclination to get into running. Like, I don't mean that you have to be like physically sporty, because obviously there are a lot of people, you know, who run marathons and stuff who start from like 0% sportiness. But I think being sporty also comes with like a willpower thing and like being able to push yourself through it. And I cannot push myself through that long distanceness of it. So a gym class I can go to because everything's over in like 3 seconds. But being able to like endure that is like a test that I cannot stand.
Also, I did lots of athletics when I was younger, so I think if you've got that in you, like,
exactly,
kind of carry through.
I did not. So Hattie, Astrid, a little bit, what are your tips for getting into running?
I think just go, because I always feel so good after I've done it. So even when I'm running and I think this is the worst thing in the world, as soon as I get back through my front door, I'm glad that I've done it.
I think that's the same with all exercise. It's just the getting out and doing
it.
You
never regret doing a workout.
It's so true, you don't.
But you will regret not doing one.
Unless you're really hungry and waiting for a really long queue for brunch, which happened to me yesterday, then I regretted it. Astrid, what are your tips? Do you find the app helpful to begin with?
Yeah, I think apps are great, especially if you don't know what you're doing. And if you're approaching it never having run before, there's some great apps that do like stop start running. So I think you run for like half an hour, but actually it's like run for 2 minutes,
that kind of thing. Doing the bleep test?
Hideous.
That really takes me back.
But something like that, like I wouldn't even try the bleep test. I'd be like, oh, that's one, I'm out. Like, I just don't have the like push yourself button.
See, I don't mind things like that, because it's like short bursts of running. It's not like you're going out for an hour and a half.
But it gets you that like out of breathness that I hate about running. I don't know. Okay. And if you are gonna listen to music, like what do you recommend to kind of stay motivated on the run?
I don't really understand like motivational music. I think I just listen to like the music
Would you listen to something slow while you're running?
I wouldn't listen to
Leonard Cohen or something, but I would just like put on a playlist or something from my normal
music. Odd when people go running together and they chat.
I
was walking around Brockwell Park on the weekend and there was two women who were running together and they were just having this really long chat and it was very detailed. I was thinking, God, how are you?
How do you breathe?
I physically couldn't have a conversation.
Must be very
taxing. Maybe it's even better for you. Who knows? Okay, well, if you do want some tips, tips on how to either get into running or enhance your running performance, then check out our piece. So everybody seems to be obsessed with cleaning at the moment. It's obviously the Mrs. Hinch effect. So we wrote a piece about 10 handy cleaning gadgets you didn't know you needed. I might have to sit this one out. I'm not very good with cleaning gadgets. Not really my forte. But Astrid, you've got some you swear by.
The Pledge Fluffy Duster is game changing.
Okay, tell me about it.
So this was a few years ago. I moved into a new flat and it was literally new, like brand new, with a building site like the week before. So it was so dusty for ages. You know when you've had builders in and you think you've dusted, but 2 seconds later there's like a whole other thing of dust. Anyway, game changing, changed my life. Yeah. It's basically like a duster, but I don't know what it's made out of. Like the fibers just like pick everything up, and it's got like an extendable thing
for the floor or
for like
nooks and crannies.
Okay, so it's literally like an old school, like, is it like a feather duster?
It kind
duster
of is like halfway between a new, a modern duster. Mm. I don't know what one of those
I don't know what
like
duster
and like you know like those classic ones, you
yeah,
know, like,
yeah.
You know,
I think of like the one in Beauty and the Beast.
Okay, but must be made out of some like amazing new material. But anyway, it picks up every single tiny bit of dust.
Sorry, and you said it's Pledge, did you say?
Pledge Fluffy Duster.
Pledge Fluffy Duster. Oh, it's not on the list. Wow.
I know, it's not. And I actually told Pascal about it before. I'm really upset that she didn't put it on the list.
Trouble.
The other one is, we've actually written a whole feature about these, but the e-cloth.
Oh my God.
I mean,
obsessed with an e-cloth.
Yeah.
What is an e-cloth?
So it's a brand, and I think they started out with like the classic e-cloth. And
what's again, e-cloth?
It's a cloth, but it's the texture
of it. Yeah, so they must have patented this fabric that they use, but yeah, it basically like cleans everything.
What does it feel like?
It's almost like that fabric that doesn't get that wet, so it's really good for cleaning surfaces.
Okay,
and then you'll rinse it off, and you're sort of, you know how sometimes when you use a wet cloth and then it just leaves water the surface, so it doesn't do that,
or like leaves bits of the actual cloth.
That's
wet. It's really amazing for the shower as well.
So, but it's not disposable. It's not like a
no. You put them in the washing machine.
Yeah. Fine. Okay.
But like since then, I think they've just the range has expanded, and they have like e-cloths for absolutely everything.
And you can also get like non-e-cloth e-cloths.
I was going to say, so it's e-cloth the brand, like Dyson, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to look on Amazon for
you get them on Amazon or John Lewis.
Ocado.
Like
okay.
There's a whole section on John Lewis.
Yeah. But they are really, really good. I would kind of turn my nose up with them a bit. I was like, a cloth is a cloth.
Yeah.
But they are really, really great.
Good. Okay, interesting. Hattie, any cleaning hacks?
Not
or
to be
gadgets?
Controversial. I know that cleaning is having some weird moment, but I just don't get it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm
like,
with you.
The whole Mrs. Hinch on Instagram. What's the new Netflix show?
Oh, Marie Kondo.
Yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah.
I just don't get what's enjoyable about watching people clean.
Completely with you. Like, my house is very clean. Like,
oh, but it's, I clean.
Yeah.
But I don't need to watch anyone do
and
it.
And also, it's like a necessity as opposed to a pleasurable.
I don't see it as a. Maybe I would do it more if I enjoyed it. I don't know. But
I don't enjoy cleaning. I know it sounds like I'm.
But you've
like my biggest hobby. I think it's like the satisfying thing. You know, when you're like, you get sucked into watching like someone ice a cake on
Instagram.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's like the saddest, like when you like really clean something, it's really satisfying.
I do love afterwards. I like to hoover actually.
Oh,
you know, once you've hoovered and your carpet just is like new.
And you didn't realise it was there to then you're like, oh wow, okay.
Hoovering's like the biggest effort because that requires like getting out the hoover, which is such an effort.
Yeah. Well, game changer for you. Oh, my mum very kindly got me a dustbuster
for Christmas. Yeah.
And it is amazing.
Yeah.
Because we don't have like a handheld Dyson. We've got sort of one of those plug-ins.
Yeah, me too. It's like heavy.
And it is heavy. And so, you know, a couple of crumbs get spilt somewhere and you're like,
exactly.
Leave them. So now Dustbuster, so easy. Yeah. Like picks anything up. It's got like an extendable nozzle. So it'll kind of really get in the corners.
No, that's great.
And it's really good.
I'm going to register for one of those actually. That's
register?
Good idea. Yeah, for when we get married. Like it's going on registry. Not for like my birthday.
Yeah, we've got a Vax one if that's of interest to anyone. But it's really
What's
great.
What's it called? Vax.
Vax.
Like, interesting.
One other thing that was on the list, which was of very high interest to me, was the Palms Up soap dispenser.
Oh, yeah.
I get really worried about any sort of raw meat hand situation in our chicken. My partner's not a vegetarian, and you know, the idea of sort of touching the soap when your hands have been dirty or the taps or anything freaks me out. So this enables you to not touch it.
And that's a really good point, because I'll pump the soap with my chicken hands.
Exactly.
On my egg yolk hands.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. Okay. All sound like great recommendations. Well, the other things on the list included an extendable tile scrubber, fancy. A laundry folding board. What's that?
if you've worked in a shop, you'll have seen them. It's just kind of a blank board and you sort of fold your t-shirt around it so you get the perfect square. Yeah.
That's amazing.
That was one that I sent to Pascal.
Is that a normal thing to have in one's home?
I don't think so.
They're having a bit of a moment, as Hattie would say. I think it was Chloe Loves the Shop was folding a lot of things the other night on hers.
Fascinating. Okay, well, anyway, if you are susceptible to the Mrs. Hinge trend and looking for more ways to tidy up your house, then we've got plenty more advice on the site. Let's talk about baths. I feel like everything is moving on very nicely from one another today. It's not been the deepest podcast ever, has it? But we wrote a feature on how baths are back. I feel like they're more controversial than they kind of should be. People are either like in the bath camp or they're not. Mm. So where does everybody here stand?
I love a good bath. I mean, it is the ultimate treat to have a morning bath or like a midday bath on a Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And every time we go away to a hotel, I always check that there is a bath because I absolutely love it. I just find it super relaxing.
And what do you do to like pimp your bath? Like what is an optimum bath for you?
Just a good amount of bubbles.
Actual bubbles.
Mm. I've got the cow shed, sort of one of their beautiful like lavender scented, just really relaxing. A good book or a magazine, don't have your phone, and just really zone out.
Interesting. Astrid?
I hardly ever have baths, just I guess because it's a time thing. But actually after this piece, it must have been in my head because this piece went live last week. And I had a bath for the first time.
Oh, did you enjoy it?
It was so nice just to like really switch off. Like showers are so functional, it's like you're up, you're getting ready. Whereas like a bath is real, like, I hate the phrase me time, but it kind of is.
It really is.
I feel like I have my best thoughts in the bath as well.
Mm, interesting.
I am a complete bath person, but I don't have one in London. So whenever I go back to my parents' house, it's just the biggest treat and they've just redone their bathroom.
Oh, nice.
So we now have a nice freestanding bath.
Oh, lovely.
Waterfall taps. It's just the dream. Absolutely.
Oh, that's so nice.
I love it.
I feel like an amazing bath is like an adult priority. Like,
definitely.
My forever home to have like a great bath. I also love a good bath. As you said, Astrid, like, it feels like such an indulgence. So, like, yesterday I came home from the gym and the idea of a shower was, like, really depressing because it was just, like, what I normally do in the morning. So I, like, had a bath instead. And, yeah, like, 1 o'clock on a Sunday.
So nice.
It was amazing. I never read in the bath. I always watch something. I, like, prop my iPad on the sink and just, like, watch whatever I'm watching at the moment because I can get quite hot and bored in baths. Like, well, like, that was, like, my past experience of it. So, like, as I've got older, I tend to just, like, watch half an episode or something. But my favourite thing to do is to do that if it's been, like, a cold day and you come home from work, like to do that just before bed.
Yeah.
Because then you get into bed feeling like even like a baby in like pajamas and clean bed sheets, having just had a bath, and nothing will warm you up like that. Yeah. It's just the best thing ever. And I really like a nice bath oil as well.
Yeah.
So we're using the Labo Vetiver one on the go at the moment, which is like, it's really nice. And it makes you look forward to getting in as well, isn't it? It's who need cleaning yourself could be so much fun. Let's talk about healthy lunches to eat at your desk now. We are still in the throes of January, so I feel like everybody's still being a little bit healthier. Maybe Hattie, or bottomless lunches aside. So we got some great suggestions from people in the know about healthy lunches that you can make at home. So I want to know what everybody here makes when you need a healthy lunch. It doesn't have to be something you make at home. We like a Sainsbury's lunch.
Yeah.
But what's your go-to when you feel like you need to be healthy?
I really like to make a Buddha bowl, which sounds a lot fancier than it actually is. It's actually super easy, but I'll always do, say, couscous and then some avo, some spinach, anything that you have, basically. Put it in a bowl.
What's the Buddha bit?
I don't know why it's called that. It's just food in a bowl. But, like, you know, there are recipes online and things. But I just like to keep it quite simple.
Is it kind of pokey-esque, but, like,
sort of. But you don't need the sashimi.
Okay,
you can just do...
I feel like a Buddha bowl is more, like, warming than a pokey kind of...
Okay, I thought it was, like a bowl of food that was, like, Asian vibe-y.
Yes, it is Asian vibe-y. But for me, I don't know, maybe that's just...
Yeah, I know, I think so.
Something heartier.
Yeah. So, like, last week I did one with tofu. I cook it with like sesame oil, some honey, roast that, and then have that on top.
Yummy.
And so easy because I don't really enjoy to cook. I don't want to do anything complicated. I want to throw stuff in a pan or in the oven and then eat.
And it's like quite satisfying about just throwing a load of stuff into a bowl.
Yeah. And actually tastes really good.
Okay, I like that. And you can just search Buddha bowl and like Pinterest.
Yeah, there'll be a million different ones and they always look really good.
Yeah, they do look good. Pretty Instagrammable. Lou, what about you? Healthy lunches?
So my best stop for like an on-the-go lunch would be M&S. I think they've got a new, I think it's called the Plant Kitchen range, and they've got some really good healthy kind of salads, very plant-based. There's a really good superfood greens one with like edamame, broccoli, green beans, soy, ginger, which is really good.
Salad,
yeah. There was another one which I used to love, which was the super nutty whole food one,
with
like quinoa and cashews and peanuts, which was amazing, which I used to love, but then I found out I'm allergic to quinoa, so I can't have that time. sometimes. But yeah, I think they've got a really good range. They also do some really good like cannellini bean pumpkin, like a patty, which is really good. So yeah, M&S is sort of my go-to. I get a bit stuck with lunch sometimes and I'm like, oh, I'm really hungry and I just don't know what to have. I think you have to really think about it and be, I wish I was more prepared and cooked more for my dinner. I generally tend to do that and be like, okay, I'll take this in for lunch, and then I'll like just sort of keep picking at it throughout the night and then be like, okay, well, this is not lunch.
So like 3 pieces of pasta.
Yeah, so I do need to get better. And when we did our food packages last week, I did the detox kitchen one, and that was actually good inspo for me of being like, okay, right, this is a good one to try. So yeah,
I feel the same. Ashley, what about you?
One good tip is, even if you have to pick up a salad from Pret or Marks and Spencer's or whatever, just go and buy a lemon and ditch the pre-made salad dressing. One, they're usually disgusting, and two, like, you just don't know what's in it, and a lemon can actually completely pimp your salad. Oh, and like chili flakes and stuff like that, just have like little bits like that in your drawer at work. Yes. And it just makes it so much nicer.
Yeah, that's such good advice. Well, I also love M&S for a soup. They do like proper hearty soups, but they don't use any nasties in their ingredients. So obviously, you know, if you're going to get like a cream of mushroom one, it might have double cream in it, but if you want something that's just kind of all natural ingredients and nothing too heavy, they have some really good options, like from superfood green ones to chicken varieties.
Yeah, they do a really good chicken noodle one that if you're feeling a bit kind of under the weather, that's just like the best.
Yeah, a Thai chicken one, which is like a proper laksa, which is delicious, but also I love their green one too, so I highly recommend those. And then I feel like I bang on about rice all the time. I just not talk about rice anymore, but seriously, like, because obviously we've got a local Sainsbury's right by the office, and for like a quick easy lunch, an avocado, one of those rice, a packet of prawns and some tzatziki is like the easiest thing ever. Yeah. And those ingredients will last you a few days.
Yeah.
And that is really delicious and healthy.
Yeah. And buddying up, me and Charlotte quite often buddy up, and it keeps you on the right track.
It does. And it also means you can have more interesting things.
Yeah.
So we'll often buy like a variety of salad things, because you wouldn't buy all of that for yourself, but then you have it and it works really well. And we've got a nice little system, haven't we? Okay, let's finish by talking about some fashion. Androgyny has always been on the fashion agenda, so sometimes a good shortcut for getting that look is to head straight to the menswear department. We wrote a piece on the best things to borrow from the boys. Everybody here guilty of stealing from their boyfriends?
Always.
Yeah.
Especially a good knit.
Do they let you?
Well, he doesn't always know. And last week I did borrow one of his new Uniqlo merino wool. I went out in that, and the next day he went out and bought me one. So that I would not wear it.
Yeah.
That's so nice. But yeah, I just think their knitwear is always kind of better than ours sometimes.
So much better. Yeah. So like, I'm wearing Ben's jumper today, but like, I had to not put on perfume because, I really hope he doesn't listen to this, but I get home and I have to like keep my coat on until I can get into his cupboard when I know he's like in the shower or something. And then I like hang it up and make sure it looks exactly as it is, because he knows, like, I'm terrified. I get in so much trouble. But you're right, their jumpers are just
so
better.
Comfy.
Like, this is a good jumper. I don't have this in my wardrobe, so why would I not steal his? Lou?
I unfortunately can't borrow. My boyfriend's 6'3" and just quite considerably bigger than me. So unfortunately, I can wear it and it's really cozy, but I really look like I'm wearing a
man's clothes. Yeah.
But I am definitely guilty of purchasing from the menswear department in a size that is slightly more suitable for me, and that's always shirts, linen shirts in particular in the summer. I love that look, like over swimwear, just wearing like a really oversized linen shirt. I just think it's just quite sexy and cool. And sweatshirts as well. I've got Sandro men's sweatshirt on sale from them. I think the proportions are much better for certain things, when even though women's wear, obviously you can get something oversized now, it's got a slightly different feel to it.
And for linen shirts, where do you go?
Gap, I think, is really, really great. I got one in the summer from French Connection, which is really good. I think you can definitely look on the high street. I don't think it's something you necessarily have to spend lots of money on.
Yeah.
But yeah, Gap's probably my go-to.
Cool. Astrid?
Yep, same as you guys. Love a man's jumper. Marks & Spencer's cashmere. Crew neck are always a good one. I really like that the sleeves are slightly longer. So like Hattie, Uniqlo's grey. I was wearing a men's that I stole off my boyfriend, Uniqlo jumper, all weekend because it was freezing in Brighton. If I ask, it's okay.
But if I ask myself,
well, I think he just says yes, but he probably doesn't really want me to.
Yeah, I also swear by M&S. I bought their roll neck actually because it's like the perfect boxiness. Like, I didn't even go oversized; like, I went for a men's small.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like it fits me. It's just got the kind of the shoulders are a bit squarer, which really helps. Other things we put on this list were flannel shirts. There's a very big trend for that lumberjack look around at the moment, and H&M in particular have some really good men's versions, and t-shirts too. We're all kind of constantly in search for the perfect boxy men's t-shirt, and they really know what they're doing. Well, I think that's just about it for this week. If you enjoyed that, please do rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends, and we'll see you next time.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.